podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck White as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Bullfire. You know, I just realized that saying fuck Whitey is my equivalent of saying strictly for my niggas. Like Tupac. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. the Canadian Controversial Negro, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. That boy good indeed. Today's date is August 26, 2026. How am I just noticing that? 26-8-26. Do the knowledge. All right. We are at episode 363. 363. And today I'll be talking about, actually I'll be answering the question. Hey, B Black. How come you're a black podcaster and you don't always talk about black people shit? Yeah, I know you've been wondering. We'll get to that. But before we do that, I will start with some quotables and randomness. A bit of this and a bit of that. If you can't tell, I don't know. I guess I'm in a good mood. I don't know. I must be the sugar. I think I'm going for a sugar rush. But whatever. I hope you're having a blessed day. Shout out to you if you got paid today. You know what I mean? All my hoes. All right. Quotables. Let's start with quotables. Right. So all these quotes I'm about to share relate to today's final thought. First one goes, oh, man, this one is a repeat. But fuck it. It's not the first time you've heard this one, but there's always a new audience out there. It's by James Baldwin. It goes, to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. Message. And the last one was, it's going to inspire, I believe it's going to be the inspiration for today's title. And it goes, I smoke a blunt to take the pain out. If I wasn't high, I'd probably try to blow my brains out. Message. All right. Again, context will be in there. But I'm also going to take the opportunity to say that how I recently downloaded the authorized biography of Tupac. And I took a crack at it. I listened to the intro and just a bit of the intro. And I listened to the intro by the author and the a little bit of words from the book. And I feel like I'm going to need to take my time with this one. So I'm going to start over, but I can feel like this thing is going to hit home. His brother is saying a lot of things that I feel like that connect to this podcast. And I'm looking forward to it. All this to say, I'm looking forward to reading the book. And what's funny? This what's inspired me. I've always been a Pac fan, but what inspired me to, or what reminded me of the fact that I'm a Pac fan is watching the movie Juice a few weeks ago while high, and the intensity of Pac's role and his acting had me wanting to look about. It was while watching. I mean, in addition to Juice, but while watching this clip on YouTube about how Juice, you know, random facts about the movie Juice, how it was made and all that. And there was a reference to the book, the authorized biography of authorized biography of Tupac. And that's what got me to like look up the book. But damn, that's a lot of talking. All right, but that's it. So that's it for quotables. Time for randomness. Some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Oui. All right. First item is, this is just me saying, love my last episode. When I say love, I more the feeling I got from creating it, for putting it together, recording it, and then while editing, listening to some words and some of the stuff that I said and uploading it. And it's so me. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's so me. Finding a moment in my life where the song gives that moment context, or that moment gives the song context. I just felt good about myself. And the more I think about it, it feels like the podcast episode feels like a song on the album that, as the artist, I'm like, yeah, I really enjoyed, really enjoyed this particular, making this song. And while everyone is shaking their ass to, you know, the other tracks on your album, you're like, fuck, I wish people like felt this one, or just, I don't know. I felt like I felt like there's like a special connection with this particular episode. And it's the one episode I would really love to engage people in a conversation about. But yeah, no, this is more of a, for me, for making an episode that I had feelings for, that made me tingle inside.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
For this next one, I will not talk about Mark Carney's decision to abandon the trade talks with the United States, because one, I am not enlightened enough to talk about it. Two, I am going to use this segment as an excuse to say in the show notes, there will be a link to an explanation by content creator, Canadian content creator, Unlearned 16. I'm a fan of this person. And they explain how, in my words, how Trump is trying to play us like a hoe. Okay, essentially, she breaks down what was the deal, and to the point you'll be like, yeah, I would walk away. Well, fuck that, you know. And also, come on, man, this is Trump. At a certain point, you know, fool me once, shame on me, shame on you. Fool me twice. At a certain point, you gotta be like, okay, yeah, art of the deal, my ass. It's whatever deal you make with this guy, he's playing you. There's no, like, you gotta be smarter than him, ask smarter than him, or see his cards before you actually deal with him, because he doesn't fight fair, doesn't play fair, and not a man of his words. I'm just saying. Like I said, I will not be talking about it.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
What I like about this "so you're a philosopher" button, it's my way of saying shut up, me, in a kind way. For this next one, okay, I'm going to make it a habit of playing clips and not commenting on it. It's the equivalent of, you know, when people replay other people's videos and they're on the side and they point at it. Well, this is one of those. It's one of those clips that I can't add to it. The creator said everything that needs to be said.
So why can a Confederate flag still fly proudly and be called heritage, while the Nazi flag is only recognized for what it actually represented? Mm. So the Confederate flag represents people who fought to keep black people enslaved. And when slavery ended, the segregationists, they dusted it off to fight civil rights. So my question is, why are we protecting the heritage of slavery? But okay, quick story. So when I was young, I watched a World War II movie with my grandmother, who was a Holocaust survivor. A swastika appeared on the screen. She was old, and she literally peed herself. That symbol wasn't history to her. Her body remembered the actual terror that it represented. So I can't even show a swastika in the video without risking Instagram taking the whole thing down. But guess what I can show proudly if I'm a racist? A Confederate flag. So we've all spoken with people who don't think these symbols are comparable, but why aren't they? Because America has indoctrinated us to believe that they aren't. So think about this. The Dukes of Hazzard put the Confederate flag on the coolest car on television and sold it as rebellious fun. Mm-hmm. Georgia's state flag today is basically the Confederacy's first national flag with a state seal slapped right on top. So I was never taught to even think about what the Confederate flag meant to the black community. I just saw the South and kept moving, while they saw people who fought to keep their ancestors in chains. So when I say the swastika represents terror within the Jewish community, nobody tells me to respect its other meaning. So when black people say the Confederate flag represents terror to them, why the fuck do we tell them it means heritage? So this isn't about deciding which tragedy was worse. It's about how indoctrination taught us to treat one group's terror as sacred and the others as Southern nostalgia.
Message.
All right, I did promise not to say anything, except the content creator's name is David Says Stuff, and links will be in the show notes.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, for this one, I'm going to start it off with RIP Dolly Parton, and I will, it's another video I'm just going to play by, but it's important to acknowledge the name of the content creator. His name is, bear with me. Okay, all right, found it. All right, so content creator's name is Pearl Mania. He's very popular. If you see his face, you know what I'm talking about. Pearl Mania 500, and I believe his full government name is Alex Pearlman. You know, red beard. And but anyways, he's I love his take on for Dolly Parton. What do you call it? What's that speech you said at a funeral? Obituary? Whatever. Hear him out.
We should never forget that Dolly Parton chose to not be a billionaire. Because she could have. Dolly Parton made so much money, she could have let her money make money. But instead, she chose to reinvest in people and her community. And today, when I went to my mailbox on the day she died, there was proof of that. Sitting right there waiting for me. It was this book right here. Forts. From the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. Since the day my son has been born, once a month, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, in partnership with local nonprofits, has mailed my son, like millions of American kids across America, a book for his parents to read to him, to foster a love of reading and literacy and dreams and wonder. And when my son gets home, we'll unwrap this and we'll read it. But she sent many books to us. She sent this book. It's called A Little Emotional. Because again, Dolly Parton spent millions of dollars making sure that kids were not illiterate. She wanted to make sure that kids knew how to read, how they could understand the world around them, and that they could understand how to process their emotions. This is what she spent her money on instead of buying Twitter. She sent the animal song to my son instead of trying to buy an election. She sent little poems for tiny ears instead of trying to spread misinformation about fucking vaccines. She sent dandelion magic to our front door instead of villainizing fucking trans people. Mm-hmm. J.K. Rowling. She sent Kaya's for kindness instead of trying to go and harp even more on dividing us as a people. She sent Llama Llama meets the babysitter instead of going and reinvesting in Palantir. She sent the big slide instead of making sure we slid into fascism. She said, how we say I love you instead of making us hate each other. She said, let's explore the seashore instead of buying flock cameras. She said, don't lose Mr. Cuddles, a book all about loss and how to get around and over these feelings through your family. She sent Birding for Babies, and she sent my son's favorite book, Gaga Mistake Day, a book about how you can hang out with your grandmother and be silly and make mistakes and everything will be all right. That pile is proof of why Dolly Parton will be remembered and loved. Not because her name's on the side of a building, not because of anything else, but because she reinvested in people.
People.
In hope, in love, and in the future. I would like Jeff Bezos and all the other ones to remember that as they're looking down at us from their fucking rockets, because that's the closest those fuckers will get to heaven, because only angels like Dolly deserve to be up there.
Amen, brother. Oh, man. Amen. I am fighting the urge to not I'm fighting the urge to say, man, fuck Elon Musk and Bezos and all them niggas, whatever. And but I'm more focused on the idea of or how the life Dolly Parton lived that led to so many people wanting to say nice things about her or acknowledge how much her passing is a loss. There's something significant about that. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is how, when you get old and you start to realize what life is actually like, and you're just, oh, so disappointed, whatever, you know, it's like getting used to the idea that, okay, life is not fair. It's part of maturity. It's being able to accept that. Anyways, one of them was growing up Christian was living the kind of life Dolly Parton lived. And I think it's well skilled. How do I say that? I don't think it was an act. That's my point. When I was growing up Christian, what I was doing was an act. I was trying to convince people that I was a nice person so that they would show up at my funeral with something nice to say. Then what happened is I realized that, hey, you can't make everyone happy. So you're better off just making yourself happy and take it from there. But for her, I believe she was being authentic, and her authenticity led to so many people being like, damn, we lost a good one. So it's a skill. It's a skill. It's a talent. I believe it's a talent. To me, it's a skill. But again, RIP Dolly Parton. And I agree with everyone's sentiment that Grand Reaper, you took out the wrong person.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
So much for my attempt to end that on a positive note. All right, the last one is, maybe I'm going to make a part two for this, but I feel like it somewhat relates. I could have like fit that into the final topic. And it's just a thought that I've had on my mind, but I'm feeling like my algorithm is fucking with me, man. Or fucking with all of us. Well, for one, I'm not helping the situation. I have an addiction to doom scrolling, like so many of us with cell phones. And to make it worse, like I catch myself going, nah, it's like a crack pipe. But I catch myself just being on there and it just occupies my time. Like I have a need to occupy my time and doom scrolling helps. But I've been thinking about how much my algorithm, I swear, is trying to keep me in a state of aggravation. And I don't think I'm the only one. I might need to make a part two on it. And yeah, sure. Granted, I just shared with you some really good content. But what you're not seeing is all the shitty content I had to go through before I got to the good one. And it's always shit like, yo, the world sucks. White people are fucking with you, fucking with black people. It's unfair. This will, like, it's again, like constant, like I'm constantly being reminded on how difficult it is to live as to exist in this world as a black person. Not just, I'm wondering if you're queer person, whether you're having that same problem. If you're a woman, you're constantly being reminded that anytime you might get raped. White people are probably getting like, yeah, it's fucking you. You're taking everything. You're fucking thinking, rise up, white man. I don't know, but I feel like we got it all wrong. We all thought Skynet was gonna rise and like blow. Nah, they're going after our. It's going after our mind. I might need to make a part two on it, but the bottom line, I feel like I'm being fucked with by my algorithm.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. That was it for randomness. Where am I? Planet Earth. And yeah, time to jump to feature thought. Final say. So many names, right? Right. So many names. Final say, last word. But before I do that, I'm going to take a very quick break. All right. Hey, I'm good on time. All right, let's. I really don't want to go on a lot, but like I said, the question I'm trying to answer, or I want to answer, is how. Let me back up. When I started this podcast, when I say start the second iteration of this podcast, which I refer to as the New Testament of Shut Up Podcast, Long story. If you listen to the Manifesto episode, you know what I'm talking about. When I was working on, especially the logo, I remember telling the graphic artist, excuse me, I'm laughing because, no, I didn't use AI, graphic artist, human being, I said, hey, out of everything this logo needs to communicate is that it's a black podcast. A black guy is running this motherfucking shit. And then we both ended up agreeing to, hey, why don't we just use your face in there? I was like, oh, well, I remember being shy about it, but that's not the point. But it was important for me to for the world to know that this is a black podcast. excuse me, I'm laughing. I'm thinking of an X-Clan line. It's going, fuck, how does it go again? Something about going over the top to present themselves as being black. I'm fucking it up. But again, it's important for me to accentuate the fact that it was a black podcast. And it's the story of my life. I grew up with white kids. Well, I mean, white kids. I mean, not that my siblings were white. I'm saying I went to a school that was all white. The community around me was white and everything like that. And I was used to being me and my family being the only black kid in the neighborhood. Granted, I did go to a black church, but that's not it. And once I had my, what I'll call my black awakening, from there, it was like, yeah, I'm black. Even though people like to joke about, like, nigga, it's obvious. As dark as you is, yeah, it's obvious, whatever. And I joke, you know, that's why I went by the name Be Black. Sometimes I feel like I do that to compensate for how black I don't feel. Because, again, I was in a society of white people, surrounded by white people. There was a point of there used to be a time where I used to feel cursed because I was black. And this is me, middle finger to the world. Fuck it. This is me in defiance. So getting back to, it was important for me, for this podcast, for everyone who knows this, it's a black podcast. I'm saying all this because I'm giving you too much content, whatever, because I could go in an area about blackness and wives or whatever, but I guess the problem was, growing up, my idea of black was pretty much imitating whatever black Americans did. Of course, I grew out of it, then realizing that, you're a black Canadian. Your reflection, you're black Canadian, whose parents are immigrated here from Haiti. And I guess where I'm getting at is being black is not a monolith. This is really what I'm going with. I guess I grew up with the notion that being black was a monolith. In order to be black, I need to walk, talk, and behave, have these opinions. But no. Every black person has their own black experience. Including the fucking coons. Anyway, that's not the point. On the second iteration, it's what's amazing. So on the first iteration of the Old Testament or Shut Up podcast, I had that mindset. So I would do whatever other black podcasts were doing or talking about, I felt the need to, bam, we're also talking about it too. You can get it on here too. And in this particular case, I've been very mindful about not doing it. More specifically to the point, I haven't talked about issues, things in the world. Like I nearly didn't record this podcast. So I, what's the name? I'm trying to remember the name of the, speaking of my timeline. Okay. The name, Tasha Fortune, Jackson, Mississippi, 29-year-old mother of four, was found hanging behind an abandoned building. My timeline keeps reminding me of black people being found in the United States hung from a tree. And the authorities are trying to sell it as, or trying to, like, to them it's, they committed suicide. And as a black person, we know, come on, get fucking real. Black people don't lynch themselves. Anyway, so I'm constantly being bombarded with news of the... Another topic I haven't touched, mainly because, well, I'll get to it, is Nolan Xavier Wells, 18-year-old who went missing during a 4th of July boat trip to Horn Island of Mississippi Coast. And his body was recovered in the water near the island on July 6, 2027. The whole story was how he went out with his white friends and he died. But the story that really got my attention, there's way more story. Look, I still remember in 2020, while I was going through my mental health crisis, I was spending year 2020 after George Floyd, 2020, recording, remembering every black person who were killed, brutalized, what by the cops. I was remembering their name. Because I felt like I owed it to them. But at the same time, I was sacrificing my mental health. Here's what's fucked up. So the one who really got my attention, the particular one, but I'm not going to talk about it in details. I'll get to it. His name is Jason Arde, a 41-year-old British sociologist and the University of Cambridge youngest ever black professor, was found dead on August 2026 following weeks of intense media scrutiny and accusation of plagiarism. Won't go into details. You could look up the story, but brother was accused of plagiarism by a fucking white racist piece of shit cracker ass fucking dust piece of shit white boy who likely couldn't cut it with his rest of his colleague, but the best he can do is create a mob to. Anyways, Jason Arde killed himself over this accusation, which turned out, from what I understand, turns out to be bullshit. But his death, his suicide, is the part that got my attention, and it reminded me, and is the reason why I'm saying, hey, Be Black, you're a black podcast, how come you didn't talk about his death or about that incident and whatnot? And this is the part about black people that, I don't know, might be unpopular, but I do know it's not something that's mainstream. But part of fucking being black is navigating through the system and maintaining your fucking mind, not letting these motherfuckers drive you crazy. So yeah, call me soft. I know what I can handle. I know what I can take. I'm a sensitive, empath. Overly sensitive empath. I need to, unlike the rest of my people, I'm in the category of black folks who need to be very careful about how much of this madness I take in. I think Pac was a sensitive soul, but he just toughed it out. But shit drove him crazy, but whatever. But I connect to the line with his verse where he says, I smoke a blunt to take the pain out. If I wasn't high, I'd probably try to blow my brains out. There are someone, you know, it's a constant question that's asked, or a frequent question on social media is, hey, how's your mental health? Or excuse me, black men, black people, how's your mental health? Respond with a GIF. Every time someone asks me that question, the first thing that comes to mind is responding with someone getting high. And the idea for me is, maybe my mental health isn't as bad as it used to be during 2020. But right now it's at a state that it's easy for me to talk about it while I'm high. Maybe I'm doing well. Maybe I'm not doing so well. But I do know that a more accurate representation is I'm coping. I'm maintaining. I'm keeping my head up. What's that line? Trying to stay hard in a harsh that's cold. Wait, what's it? Ah, fuck. What's that line by Bugging Out? Am I gonna fight? No, I'm not gonna look it up. Yeah. Trying to stay hard in a cold world, and it's yeah. So part You know, there's a line, is everybody wants to be black until they don't want to be black. Everybody wants to be black until they're getting pulled over by the cop. Everyone wants to be black until they show up in a professional setting and they're surrounded by people going, oh, DI hire. Oh, fuck, you don't deserve what you got. Everybody wants to be black until they got to face this constant barrage, the idea that you might die in a traffic stop. And it's not just the dying in a traffic stop. It's you're going to be surrounded by friends, white colleagues who will be like, oh, I wonder what he did. I thought he was one of the good ones. But yeah, it's so all this to say, I may not be the podcast that talks about every single incident, not even close to it, that's in the news. I know on the two of my favorite podcasts, Three Guys On, Black Guy Who Tips, they do that. Or they will, they pay attention to what's in the news and they manage to navigate in that shit. Look, sometimes I have to pause from listening to them. Not because they're bad, but it's just that unlike them, I don't have the fortitude to constantly handle all that shit because I'll lose my fucking mind. And it happened. It actually happened. There was, like I said, while I was going for my 2020 crisis. You know what happened in 2020? The death of George Floyd. That shit fucked with me, man. Unlike most people, I'm sure it fucked with a lot of people. But me, it fucked with me to a point where I ended up in therapy. Being like, and pretty much, and I was like, yo, I'm tired. I can't be black. I'm tired being black. I can't handle it. I can't do the, gotta be twice as good as the white man. I can't do, stop complaining, just fucking persevere, just whatever. But I had reached the point where I was like, uncle, I'm done. I can't fucking do. And that's why I ended up having to talk to a black therapist to be like, yo, I can't do it like y'all, man. I'm done. This shit is too hard. And it's this constant expectation of being strong that was just. So that's why I relate. I understood Jason Arday's death. Because I can picture being overwhelmed by public opinion or forgetting that. Just being overwhelmed. I just get it. So all this to say that if there's a big takeaway is if, you know, black people, fight the fight, but pay attention to your mental health. I don't know. I'm just saying, man. I think we got an opportunity. We're like the fortunate generation who can, okay, maybe not all of us, but a few of us can take the time to take a pulse, to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Am I taking on more than I can? So yeah, I purposely mentioned Black Guy Who Tips, Three Guys On, because if that's the kind of stuff you want, a black podcast, is that for you, a black podcast needs to talk, like they would be the ones I would direct you to. But me, I'm every once in a while, I'm going to talk some shit. I'm going to talk about whatever I, look, I'm going to do what I can manage to do. Yeah. I said what I needed to said, got it out of my system. And yeah, on the last episode, I talked about how, hey, if I put out an episode on Wednesdays, it's a bonus episode. Consider yourself lucky, you ungrateful fuck. And I had to get this out of my mind because I knew if I waited for Sunday, it was just going to be a 2-hour episode. So in this fucking crazy world, there's going to be so much more to talk about. But yeah, so that's it, man. I'm just trying to maintain in this harsh, cruel world, and like Jason Baldwin wasn't fucking around. He meant that he was in his bag when he said to be a black person in this country is to relatively conscious is to be enraged almost all the time. Yo, those black people, that it's ethereal. Black people who are like, hey, I don't see race. That's probably their attempt at, I'm not justifying it, but that's probably them being like, hey, if I think about all this black shit, I'm going to kill myself. I'm just saying. Wow. What a quote. That's really not the soundbite I wanted you to have. But just know that I'm doing what I need to do to maintain. to survive. Man, I'm looking forward to read that Tupac book. But all right, so this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Reminder, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Shutuppodcast401 at gmail.com. And as always, holla if you hear me. All right. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. That's my way of saying you click play. All right. And yeah, thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. Black, yo.